Hi, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome to the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
I'm doing good, Neil. Today, I'm going to talk about the third part in the series. The series is Wearing a Face Mask, a Careful Review of the Evidence. And this is part three. I wanted to say at the start that I am working on finding a different alternative to the cloth and surgical mask, which is what we're talking about now. And as I get this information for you, it might be a game changer in the mask discussion. But that will be coming up soon. And we'll go through this part three and then part four, talking about what we have available to us at the present time. Moreover, Epoch Times reported that in states, the U.S., with a mandate in effect, there were over 9.5 million confirmed COVID-19 cases, which works out to an average of 27 cases per 100,000 per day. When states did not have a statewide order, including states that had never been mandated, coupled with the period of time masking states did not have a mandate in place, there were over 5 million cases, averaging 17 cases per 100,000, a notable reduction as compared to the number of cases observed during the mask mandates. States with mandates in place produced an average of 10 more reported infections per 100,000 than states without mandates. The blind acceptance of the current unsupported dogma that has become so entrenched that if cases go up, the experts wedded to the universal use of masks claim that this is good news, such that masking prevented even more cases for occurring. This is truly incredible, taking the statistics. The reality is that there is significant evidence that masks are not effective for controlling a pandemic. To reiterate, we agree, though, that within the context of a clinician treating an obviously affected patient with any communicable disease, the use of mask is important, but even then, this must also be augmented by the use of other PPE. And this simply cannot be compared to population-wide use of mask. The effects on populations are catastrophic, and mask potential, perhaps unintentionally, have been constraining our ability to return to a semblance of normal life. What does the best overall body of evidence show at this time as to the effectiveness of masks? To answer this, we refer to a recent tantalizing piece by Jenan Youngs, published in the American Institute of Economic Research, that sets the table for making a strong argument against the effectiveness of masks, and also raises very we must also draw on data derived from the study of other respiratory viruses like influenza in regard to the use of masks to prevent the spread of disease. And we must also argue that this evidence is very pertinent to the virus SARS-CoV-2 associated with COVID-19 disease. Overall, The available research on the use of masks to mitigate transmission of pathogens in a pandemic is a very poor methodology quality, using largely indirect, unadjusted evidence and not the optimal clinical research that is needed. A major limitation is the use of the same evidence based by all reviews and thus arriving at similar findings. However, this low quality evidence is what we have and is, we believe, still useful enough to guide and inform us. At the same time, we do not recognize the urgent need for a well-designed clinical research study in order to address as definitively In fact, we find it remarkable that researchers adequate to it is also noteworthy that there have also been no reliable studies that can demonstrate one way or the other whether social distancing truly can be used to impede viral spread, especially in asymptomatic people. It appears that this issue is now fraught with politics and agenda promulgated by a wide array of medical experts on television and the media, as opposed to being related to a reliable base of knowledge. We suggest that various populations are being hurt by this type of academic sloppiness, which feeds into what we would call the reckless behavior of many experts and ill-informed media outlets who rely on these authorities. Conclusions around the use of masks during the COVID pandemic and other actions that have been taken but are not addressed here in detail, such as lockdowns and school closures, are often baseless, and we would submit that the research community has not studied the mask issue appropriately. Principally, because they're reticent and possibly even wary as to what the findings might reveal. After all, those who object to masking are often immediately labeled as deniers and heretics. The public remains confused by the messaging from senior medical experts across the United States. This can be exemplified by comments made by Dr. Anthony Fauci early on in the pandemic, around March, as part of his COVID-19 task force role, when he stated categorically that wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think it is. The World Health Organization stated that the widespread use of masks by healthy people in the community setting is not yet supported by high quality or direct scientific evidence, and there are potential benefits and harms to consider. A strong argument against the use of masks in the current COVID-19 pandemic gained traction recently when a recent CDC case control study reported that well over 80% of cases always or often wore masks. This CDC study further called into question the utility of masks in the COVID-19 emergency. A recent publication asserts that face masks become non-consequential and do not work after 20 minutes due to saturation. Those masks are only effective as long as they are dry, said Professor Yvonne Cossart at the Department of Infectious Diseases, University of Sydney. As soon as they become saturated with moisture in your breath, they stop doing their job and pass on the droplets. In a similar light, there are indications that wearing a mask that is already used is riskier than if one wore no mask. More specifically, research was done by the CDC in May and published in Emerging Infectious Diseases, which examined personal protective measures and environmental hygiene measures for the effectiveness of such measures in reducing transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza in the community. Researchers focused on disposable surgical or medical face masks and identified 7 studies involving influenza and influenza-like illness and reported that there was, in fact, no significant reduction in the transmission of influenza when face masks were used. Overall, the CDC reported that there is no significant effect of face masks in the transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza, and that we hold that these findings could be extrapolated to SARS-CoV-2. Researchers from the University of Oxford Center for Evidence-Based Medicine examined the data regarding the effectiveness of the use of masks within the current highly charged backdrop of politics. They concluded that after nearly 20 years of preparedness for coming pandemics, the evidence on face mask alone use remains very conflicted. The examined evidence that reveals that masks alone have no significant effect in interrupting the spread of influenza and general virus in the general population, nor health care workers. They ask, why had the correct applicable comparative effectiveness research not been conducted? And we agree, that is until the recent Marine study found in the New England Journal of Medicine called the CHARM study, and the Danish study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. We will describe this later. The Oxford researchers also speculate that there is a likely elevated rate of harm when using cloth face masks. They look specifically at 6 RCTs in 2010 that examine face masks in respiratory viruses. The trials show very poor mask wearing compliance and seldom reported the harms that might be associated with the use of masks. Harm evidence will be presented later in this discussion. Taken together, though, this fits with the premise outlined above, where we state that if masking could be used to effectively prevent viral spread, there would have been clear evidence by now. The New England Journal of Medicine recently published an article on COVID-19 and mask, which appeared to suggest that masks have become no more than a psychological crutch, and stated that we know that wearing a mask outside healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from the infection. Public health authorities define a significant exposure to COVID-19 as face-to-face contact within 6 feet with a symptomatic COVID-19 patient that is sustained for at least a few minutes, and some say more than 10 minutes or even 30 minutes. The chance of catching COVID-19 from a passing interaction in a public space is therefore minimal. In many cases, the desire for widespread masking is a reflexive reaction to anxiety over the pandemic. They also stated that it is also clear that masks serve symbolic roles. Masks are not only tools, they are also talismans that may help increase healthcare workers' perceived sense of safety, well-being, and trust in their hospitals. Although such reactions may not be strictly logical, we are all subject to fear and anxiety, especially during times of crisis. One might argue that fear and anxiety are better countered with data and education than a marginally beneficial mask. A recent Danish study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine sought to assess whether recommended surgical masks utilized outside of the home would help reduce the wearer's risk of acquiring SARS-CoV-2 infection in a setting where masks were uncommon and not among recommended public health measures. The sample included a total of over 3,000 participants who were assigned to randomly wear masks and close to 3,000 who were told not to wear a mask. This is the control arm. The researchers reported that close to 5,000 people completed the study. Based on the analysis of the findings, though, the authors concluded that there was no statistically or clinically significant impact of mask use in regard to the rate of infection with SARS-CoV-2. Interestingly, these results emerged in a setting where social distancing and other public health measures were in effect, except for mask wearing. In point of fact, the use of masks in this population was generally quite low. In any case, based on these findings, it might be expected on the basis of this study alone that there would be serious doubt raised as to the need for the initiation and maintenance of mandatory use of masks in the public domain. Unfortunately, as of this date, this does not seem to be the case and is inexplicable, quite frankly. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health, NIPH, conducted a rapid review to assess if individuals in the community without respiratory symptoms should wear face masks to reduce the spread of COVID-19. They proceeded on the assumption that 20% of infected people are asymptomatic and that with a risk reduction of 40% when wearing masks, approximately 200,000 persons would need to wear a mask to prevent one new infection per week. Researchers concluded that based on the existing pandemic in Norway, wearing face masks to reduce the spread of COVID-19 is not recommended for individuals in the community without respiratory symptoms, who are not in near contact with people who are known to be infected. In May 2020, communication report in Nature, Leung et al. Examined the importance of respiratory droplets as well as aerosol routes of spread as with a specific focus on coronaviruses, influenza viruses, and rhinoviruses. They measured the quantity of respiratory virus in exhaled breath of participants with acute respiratory infections and determined the possible efficacy of surgical face masks to prevent respiratory virus transmission. Perhaps one of the most seminal and rigorous studies, along with the Danish study, emerged from a United States Marine Corps study performed in an isolated location, Paris Island. As reported in a recent journal of the American Medical Association called the CHARM study, researchers studied SARS-CoV-2 transmission among Marine recruits during quarantine. Marine recruits at Paris Island who volunteered underwent a two-week quarantine at home that was followed by a second two-week quarantine in a closed college campus setting. As part of the study, participants wore masks and were socially distanced while symptoms were monitored with daily temperature checks. RT-PCR testing was used to assess the effectiveness of these strategies insofar as the presence or absence of SARS-CoV-2 RNA was concerned. Samples were obtained by the use of nasal swabs, which were collected between arrival and the second day of supervised quarantine and on day 7 through 14, the second quarantine used to mitigate infection among recruits. All recruits were required to have a negative RT-PCR result prior to entering Paris Island. It was found within 2 days following arrival on the closed campus. 16 participants now tested positive for SARS-CoV-2 mRNA, 15 being asymptomatic, and 35 more tested positive on day 7 through 14. More specifically, of the 1,800 recruits who tested negative with PCR at the study enrollment, 24 or 1.3% tested positive on day 7. On day 14, a total of 11 of the 1,760 or 0.6% of the previously PCR test negative participants tested positive. None of these participants were seropositive on day 0. As such, 35 participants who had negative PCR test results within the first 2 days post-arrival on the campus then became positive during the strict supervised quarantine. Of the 51 total participants who had at least one PCR positive test, 22 had positive tests on more than day 1. Phylogenetic analysis was conducted whereby 6 independent monophyletic transmission clusters indicative of local transmission were uncovered during the supervised quarantine. The majority of clusters principally included members of the same platoon and numerous infective results had an effective roommate. The authors reported that about 2% had earlier negative kit tests for SARS-CoV-2 at the beginning of strict supervised quarantine. We ask the reader to think military-grade supervision and less than 2% of recruits who had unknown prior status tested positive by day 14. Positive volunteers were mainly asymptomatic, and transmission clusters occurred within the platoons. The predominant finding was that despite the very strict and enforced quarantine, including 2 full weeks of supervised confinement and then forced social distancing and masking procedure, the rate of transmission was not reduced and in fact seemed to be higher than expected. Hence, we point out that not only was masking ineffective in preventing the spread of disease, but even made things worse. Despite quarantines, social distancing, and masking in this cohort of mainly young male recruits, roughly 2% still went on to become infected and tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. Sharing of rooms and platoon memberships were reported risk factors for viral infection and transmission. And we're going to stop at that point. We have one more episode in this four-part series on wearing a face mask, a careful review of the evidence. And if you want to go by science and don't want to go by just what you hear on the news, you will take this information to heart and you will pass this podcast series on to all your friends, relatives, and neighbors. You can get them to be able to hear it by going to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. And you spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. Use no capitals, no spacing. We will continue this on part 4 next week. And this is my report today on careful review of the evidence of a wearing of face mask.
All right, that was Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Justice, Love, Service to Neil Haley. So thanks again, Wynn, for that opportunity to hear that great commentary. Make sure you check out and subscribe to his podcast. Take care, guys.